Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Do you understand how much power you house within you as a believer in Christ? Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Join me in today's message as Pastor Joel shares the power we have in calling on the name of Jesus.
We are continuing with calling on the name of Jesus. Now, last week we began exploring the fact that there is power in the name of Jesus. All right, amen. That deserves a hand clap. Anyone, yeah, anyone remotely familiar with God has to understand, whether you know Jesus or not, anyone remotely familiar with God should know that power is synonymous with God. All right? Now, it happens that Jesus is God. So power is synonymous with Jesus, all right? All right? Now, the Holy Bible itself opens up. If you say you pick up a Bible for the first time, the first book of the Bible. I heard a man say the Bible is more than a book. It's a library because it's got 66 books in it. That makes sense to me, okay? But the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis, the first line of the first book in the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, I'm telling you, that, my friends, is an example of power. That's power, all right? I mean, that's real power. That's undeniable power. That's proven and reliable power. That's more than superpowers. That's supernatural power, right? I mean, that's it right there. I can't even adequately explain or describe how powerful a feat it is for God to create the heavens and the earth. No man did it. He didn't have any help. He spoke most of it into existence. He just said it, and in being it was. This is power. This is the power of God. Now, sometimes we get bogged down with stuff in our lives, and we forget how powerful God is, that he created all of this. And we have start having problems, and we start getting worried about things. We wonder how we're going to get out of it. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Who are we going to talk to? Who's going to help us? And we forget that we know God, and God created all of this. He spoke it into existence. Now, that's we need to remember those things, how powerful God is. I can't describe how powerful a feat that is. The task itself is enough to leave the most brilliant mind stupefied. Does that make sense? I ain't calling them stupid. I'm just saying the most powerful, the most brilliant minds in the world, geniuses, how are they going to explain the power of God? Can you imagine that you are being interviewed and you are doctor, I don't know, you're a doctor of, what do they have? They have all kinds of doctors nowadays. Maybe you're a doctor astrophysical, neurological, historiological, blah. And they interview you and say, "Doctor so-and-so, we understand that you're a doctor of astrophysiological, neurological, historiological stuff. Can you explain to us the power of God?" What could you say? He's God. He's got the power. That's how powerful God is. I challenge anybody to explain the power that God has. You can't. It's indescribable. Can you give us a blueprint? Maybe a synopsis of how God did this. How did he do it? Tell us, please. What could you say? He spoke it. And it was. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve. He's all powerful. God is omnipotent, okay? The Bible says in Revelation 1:8, actually Jesus says, he says that I am he who was and is. Now get this. He said, I was, I am, and guess what? I am that I am. I'm not even going to get to that one. But he says he was, he is, and is to come. That means that he was before it got here, okay? Then he moved into it, left and went back up, and is coming back again. This is the God that we serve, all powerful. He can be where he wants to be, remove himself, and jump back in anytime he wants to. All right, now that tells me something right there. God is all powerful. So then, we know that Jesus, who is God, has to be all powerful. Because we know that from John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made. That was made in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness. Darkness couldn't comprehend it. Huh? This is the same God. This is the same God. He said, I'm laying this thing out to you right now. All right? And if you go back and read, then you go, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Wait a minute. And nothing was made that was made without him. Everything was made through him. Wait a minute. Let me go back. In the beginning was the Word was with God. And wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And you go back and meditate and chew on that bone and see, don't you come up understanding how powerful and how unique this God is that we serve. We are so fortunate to know Jesus, who is God and all-powerful. As we discussed last week, his name itself is the name above all names. The name above all names. That's right, that's right. The Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, I'll tell you right now, that's Acts 4:12. Now, last week, I called it Hebrews 4:12. You know why? Because God was moving so fast in me, and sometimes I get up here and I start talking. And I have to go back home and see what I said. Because when the Lord speaks to you, you're a phonograph, you're a vessel, but sometimes you might skip. And I skipped. I was so busy thinking about the address of the scripture there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But I was also thinking that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so I had jumped to Hebrews, so Hebrews 4:12. So you all, if you ever hear me say something in the scripture is not accurate, throw it out. Say, Pastor, you mean so-and-so. Help me. Don't leave me up here and let me say the wrong thing. Say it, because this is going out to people, but we're human. And that's another way God makes sure that you understand that you're not perfect, because he'll tell you something like that. But I want you to know that God has everything under control. The scripture says there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. You can't be saved by your good works. You can't be saved by another deity. You cannot be saved by your mother and father. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved besides Jesus Christ. That is the power of God, okay? And we have to understand that. There is power then in the name of Jesus. Therefore, if there's power in Christ's name, then we as Christ's followers ought to be calling on that name, don't you think? We ought to be calling on the name of Jesus. If there's power in the name of Jesus and you are Jesus' follower, okay, then you ought to be relying on that name, amen? If you're following Jesus, you ought to know what you're following. You ought to have a relationship with Jesus then. If you are going to be a Christ follower, you should be standing on what Christ stands for. You should be standing on the name of Christ, okay? So we should be calling on the name of Christ, relying on the name of Christ, standing on the name of Christ in times of trouble, okay? That's what calling on the name of Christ. And what name is it? Jesus, okay, I want to make sure we know. Now, last week, we examined Philippians 2, 9 to 11, which affirms that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, every tongue in heaven and on earth, we said, and under the earth and wherever. We talked about those things. We talked about what that meant. Things on earth, things under the earth. Got any scuba divers in here? Anything down below? Anything up high? Anything that's going through your life, okay? Whatever it is, and not just people have to bow, disease has to bow. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on earth, these things happen. They're in the atmosphere, right? They got a new virus that these mosquitoes are taking people out. Did you hear about that? Oh, yeah. They're taking people out. People are dying from a mosquito bite. This is down in certain states. Now, the Lord said in the word, there's going to be plagues. There's going to be virus. There's going to be some things that science has a hard time with. Who can deliver you from it? Jesus. Everything, that thing has to bow in the name of Jesus. Okay, so that's why it says in the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and a sound mind, right? Love and a sound mind, right? So it says that we are not going to walk in fear. We're going to know that there is a name, there is a man, there is a God man who came down named Jesus, who's given us the power to walk away from things, to come up healed. You might have to go to a hospital. You might have to go to see a doctor. But the real doctor, the doctor of all doctors, the great physician is Jesus Christ. And the power is not in a little black bag or like Marcus Welby, MD. The power comes from the Spirit of God moving into us. Amen. Let's get that right. He's got a spiritual black bag. You can call it that. But he's the healer of all things. Amen. That's the way I see it. That's the way the Lord's putting it to me. He has power over everything. So everything has to bow to Jesus. That means that no one, nothing can stand in the face of the name of Jesus. We've got to understand that as Christ's followers. So let's do this. Let's go on to our Bibles and let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa Jones. We'll leave it at that for today. John chapter 15, verse 7.
John 15, verse 7 tells us, if you abide in me, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's plain and simple. All right. So Jesus means here that if we are truly in Christ, okay, Christ Jesus, and his word is truly in us, whatever we ask, according to his name, is going to be done for us, all right? Now, this verse in John 5:7, I always say go 2 up or 2 down. Let's go up. Let's go to John 15:4 and 5 and read that for us, Pastor. Listen to this, because this is where it's coming from.
John 15, verses 4 and 5 says, mm-hmm. Abide, and Jesus says, abide in...
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
John 15:4 and 5 says, mm-hmm. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself mm-hmm. unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
Hear
and
that?
Verse 5 says, mm-hmm. I am the vine. You are the branches. Mm-hmm. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing.
Talk that talk. See, that's exciting talk to me. I get excited on talk like that because that means you got something. You got something in the bank that you maybe may not have known that you got. I mean, you said, well, last I looked, my bank account had $5, $10, and they were charging me overdraft. But that's okay. You got something better than that. That's what the Lord is saying in this scripture right now. That's why he tells us to look to the spirit, not to the natural. So he says right here that abide in me. You know what abide means, right? That means to be in, to get hooked in, get linked in, okay? To be connected to Jesus. That's what he's saying. When we're truly connected with Jesus, he says, what I have, you have. It's as simple as that. What I have, you have. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't go out on your own and by yourself and try to do what Jesus is going to do for you. He said, but if you stay connected to me, you got the power, okay? That's what he's saying, right? Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I'm the vine. You are the branches, okay? And that's what he's saying. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So you've got much power as long as you're connected to the power source. You see what I mean? As long as we're connected to the power source, we've got power. The power of God is made available. Amen. He's made available to us. I don't want to bring this up because we brought it up. But Sister Myra, I just met her. She passed away, 60 years old. She looked not a day over 40-something lying in that bed. And her whole thing, she wanted to make sure that she was with Jesus. Her mind was still strong. It was funny. Can I say this? Can I share it? I'm going to say it with the family. It was funny because it was only three of us there, and I'm a man, and I'm praying. And she kept saying, but I'm saved, right? Yes, you are, dear. You are, and God loves you. I'm saved, right? She said, Alma, I'm saved, right? She just kept saying that. I said, yes, you are. God loves you so much. And finally, we prayed and prayed, and we had it was a very personal good time. But her mind was so strong. I'm saying that when it's time for you to go, God knows your time. This lady didn't have dementia. She was speaking just as plainly. It was a little hard for her to breathe. But you would have thought she was going to be here longer. And I know she was within her wits and she was within her consciousness and her intelligence and her wherewithal. She was all there because you know what she said? She said, I need to change right now. I need to change my clothes. So I said, oh, I know what that means. I'll see y'all later. And I and I left. Yeah, we'll leave it there. But I'm saying this is the beauty of knowing God, that you can be comfortable knowing that he's about to take you home. And we didn't know the time. We didn't know the time. But after that, you would have thought 2 or 3 days, maybe 4 days, maybe a week. I've seen people come back a few hours. It was done. So Jesus is saying, listen here. Listen, you must abide in me. She was abiding in Christ. He gave her peace in the midst of the storm. He gave her undeniable peace in the midst of the storm, okay? There were no doctors there. There were no nurses there, only a few family members, one or two family members. Yeah. And the Lord was ministering to her then. And these are the things that we really, that when you read this word, you'll get it, but you really have to sit before Jesus to understand the power that's in the name of Jesus, okay? Yes. If you think about a power grid and the will of God, just as a large, expansive power grid, is that when the power goes out, the whole area is in darkness, okay? And that could be from one huge power transformer. Well, Jesus is the transformer of all transformers. Jesus had limitless power, supernatural power, which has made him available to his children. Isn't that lovely? Anybody who wants to grab hold and be hooked into that power source has the right to be hooked in to the power source. That's what it says in the book of John. John 1:12 or 14, one of those. But it talks about being children of God, that we, to those who believe in his name, were granted the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. He's offering it to us. So again, we spoke about that last week in reference to John 14, verses 12 to 14, where Jesus assures us of what? The works that he does, we will do also. Even what? Greater works than these, he says, will they do. Now that sounds, or that may sound a little far-fetched to some people who don't know Jesus, maybe to the unsaved, because after all, what does the word say in 1 Corinthians 2:14, Pastor? What does it say? That's why some people don't understand that, because if they don't know Jesus.
1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Spiritually discerned. Thank you, Pastor. See, and when you're in this natural world and you're thinking of natural things, you're going to be shut out of some things because your mind's not going to comprehend it, that Jesus has this much power. The natural man can't fathom the things of God. He cannot know them, and he does not believe in them. That's why there's so much wickedness going on in the world today. That's why there's so much atrocity and so much killing. And I saw a lady was walking with her two children down the street the other day. Did you all see that? This happened somewhere down south? Somebody sent me a video of it because I get these things in the mail sometimes. But a lady is walking with a little 2 or 3 year old boy, and a heavy set lady comes up, and before she knows it, she just comes up to the little boy. It looked like she hit him, but she cut his throat, right, with a knife. And you see the mother, and the boy stumbles like that. And then there's another little girl, and the father comes with the little girl saying, "What's wrong?" And the lady tries to cut that one. And then she walks out in the street with the knife like that. Just the devil is loose. The devil is loose, you see? And so you've got to be able to grasp the power of Christ and be protected by Jesus Christ. If something happens, because some things do happen, the Bible says it now, there bad things happen to good people just as well, but God's got you covered. No fear. You see what I mean? No fear at all. And we pray against things like that. But the world doesn't know about Jesus. So things unnerve us, and it makes us afraid, and it makes us fearful, and we start staying in the house when Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, because you're going to bear good fruit. If everybody was abiding in Jesus, you wouldn't have spirits jumping into people like that to do things like that, because that woman would have known Christ Jesus. You see what I mean? And that's why the devil doesn't want you to know Jesus. He doesn't want us to know the power it is that comes with Jesus. And that's why people don't believe in Jesus, because they don't know him. See, there's an action word. There's a verb, which is an action word. Is that right? To all the students in here? Verbs are action words. So the word believe, is that an action word? That's an action word. Okay, he believed, she believed, they will believe. Yeah, I used to believe. All those different things like that. I remember that from school now. That's the word. That's how you use believe as an action word, the noun, the pronoun, the action word. Okay, so believe is certainly an action word, and that's what you get when you believe in Jesus. You get action. That's what I'm trying to say. You get action to keep you, to keep your beautiful family. The action, Jesus says, I am the action if you believe in me. John 4:12, he said, most assuredly to you, he who believes in me will what? Do works, and greater works than these will he do. And that shouldn't surprise anybody here. It shouldn't surprise us as Christians, not true disciples of Christ. You should know that Jesus is going to do some fantastic things in your life. He's going to do some fantastic things through your life. He's going to bring people to Christ through you. He's going to save people through you. You no telling what might happen at your job. No telling what might happen in your life, because you are a child of the King. And he says, I'm the vine and you are one of my prized branches. There's a lot surging through you because you're hooked up to me. You're the power source. Ever stuck a fork in a socket in the wall? Born and raised outside the Chicago Project. Yes, we experimented with wall sockets and paid a price. Okay? There's power in the wall. Power in the socket. Okay? I learned, okay? And then I learned about my daddy's power when he got home. For learning about the wall power. So now I'm so glad I don't have to worry about no wall, no electrical current. All I have to do is understand the power of Jesus. You see what I mean? And Jesus has the power. So Jesus wants us to know that. And we should know it because we are Christ followers. And he is, if you're a Christ follower, you've dedicated your very lives to Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. Right? Have you dedicated your life to Jesus? Can you say you have?
Have you said yes to the Lord? Exodus 9:16 says, But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show you my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide, in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're thankful you tuned in today. Listen, if you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks for tuning into Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of Calling on the Name of Jesus. Until next time. God is